My name is Rebecca Ebersole Kasparik, and I am here interviewing my mother.
My name is Mary Walters Ebersole. Our location is Messiah College, where both of us have been students. And my relationship to my interview partner is our daughter, Rebecca.
Can you just start by describing a little bit what it was like to be a student here in the 1960s?
It was really an interesting time to be a student. And what was even more interesting is that I felt that my education took on a whole new trajectory when the Russians sent the Sputnik up into the atmosphere as the first space vehicle. And at the time, I was in school in Baltimore, and you know, the teacher in Baltimore said, "We just have to keep up with the Russians." And so it seemed like from that point forward that there was a kind of a competitive feel to education. It wasn't just educating you for the humanities. It was educating you to be a player in the world, because that's the way the United States viewed itself at that time. You couldn't help but be aware of world events. For example, my two brothers, who were older than I was, both had a draft number. And so while I was in college, they were in the process of figuring out what to do about the draft. Did they want to go to Vietnam, which was a sure shot? If you were drafted, you automatically got shipped out to Vietnam. We all had classmates who went to Vietnam. We had cousins, we had neighbors. And I just remember how devastating it was and how shaky it felt when my brother Charlie got a low draft number.
And both of your brothers ultimately decided to be conscientious objectors.
They did.
Which is something that is related to their religious heritage. I'm sure it wasn't a foregone conclusion.
Right. And see, we lived in Baltimore when the time my oldest brother, Leroy, made that decision, Leroy Walters. And that would have been a very misunderstood decision in that locale, because mm-hmm. that was a very military industrial region, and it was very God and country.
Yeah.
Do your duty. And so for him to make that decision was really hard in the face of that. Also, although Messiah, where he attended, would have been more friendly to that decision.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of turmoil in that time, you mentioned too.
Mm-hmm.
After college, you spent some time at the Messiah College Temple campus when you were in grad school, and you mentioned mm-hmm. that you attended a draft card burning there. And can you talk about some of the yeah. ways that the Vietnam War affected your experience as a student?
Well, it was really interesting. Let me just make the comparison. Like, I know that when we were at Messiah, especially when we were becoming seniors in about 68, during that year, we just kept saying to each other, "We feel like hothouse plants here," because the real world is happening out there. And we're sort of on the fringes looking on, because we feel like we're safe, because, right. you know, our college is a Christian college, and our college allows us, you know, the option of being conscientiously opposed to war because of our religious beliefs. And yet we were very passionate about what was happening in Vietnam, and we didn't mm-hmm. just want to sit on the sidelines. So when I went down to the Temple campus, I lived at the Messiah College satellite.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I spent my nights, and I spent my days over on the main campus. That was a really interesting contrast for me. It was almost like I had my foot in two worlds. And there were very heady discussions in the group of 35 that would have been affiliated with Messiah College. There would have been some undergrad students, and then some graduate students and faculty from Messiah, who were very passionate about war resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point of civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the temple students, the graduate students that I would have been with mostly, who were very passionate about declining to be involved in this, what they felt, what they viewed as an unjust war, there was a whole culture of cover-up that was very in very much contrast to the idealism and the truth-seeking that the generation I was a part of was after, both in personal lives and in government. And I think for that reason that our generation got labeled as anti-American, which was so counter to how we saw ourselves, because we felt like we were calling America to its best impulses. I remember that feeling of loss, losing innocence, that I had been raised in the kind of family that where you would respect authorities, you were taught to respect authorities, and come to find out that authorities were sometimes not worthy of respect, and that you may want to stand against what they propose, that was just totally not like anything in my background. I felt disobedient. I felt rebellious. I don't think I looked that way to casual observers, but I felt like that's how I was being seen. Because
especially by your mother.
Yes. That was really interesting, because whenever we would question some decision by a government official or authority or even the head of something else, I mean, we questioned all the way up and down the line, even questioning our parents' authority. And, you know, my mom, her comeback would always be, well, your trouble is you grew up during Vietnam. Your trouble is. Kind of like it messed with our heads. And we felt, you know, we felt more like rebels with a cause.
As you think about your time at Messiah and you think about your life now, what are some of the most influential either lessons or seeds of opportunity or possibility that came from your Messiah College years that are still important to you 40 years later?
The fact that I met my husband at the time I was at Messiah definitely has had a major shaping influence in my life, and it's been a very positive and enriching influence. My background coming into Messiah was very different from yours, because I had been more of a gypsy child, in the sense of moving from place to place, not having what you would call a hometown or a homestead. And so when I arrived at Messiah, I was coming to a place where I was sure I would stay for 4 years, and it was a very welcome commitment I was making.
So a resting place.
It was, a hiatus in my life that had been more kind of cut up and disjointed, and there had been a lot of transitions, especially through my middle school and high school years. And the thing I found here that was so influential for me, I found professors and class sizes and peers to interact with that were a match for me and the way I needed to grow. And I think probably one of the most heady things for me as a young adult, right, just waiting to bust out into the world, one of the most heady things was how much the professors believed in us.
Well, I remember you saying they encouraged you to apply to the top grad schools in the
country.
They
thought we were material for Harvard and Yale because they felt that our minds were sharp, our impulses were on target. We were very articulate in the way we talked about things and the level at which we could talk about issues. I even remember several times going in one case it was a campus conflict, going into the president of the college with my friend And we were shaking in our shoes.
Was that D. Ray Hostetter?
It was D. Ray Hostetter, and the issue was a philosophy teacher who the college viewed as not towing the party line of the church. And so there was a move to oust him, and we just felt that was dead wrong. And so we went in, and with our voices quivering like this, we very passionately defended his right to be here, and said how much we needed to hear point counterpoint. Otherwise, how would we ever know? So it was a very consolidating time. It was a very unsettling time. And it doesn't seem like those two could sit together. But for me, it did. Because there was something very vital and alive about being a part of what was going on. And I felt like when I went from Messiah to Philadelphia, I definitely, you know, the hothouse doors opened for me. And I went to a, you know, very bustling secular campus. And while that was a jolt, and I had to rearrange, you know, my head to interact with that, it was a welcome. It was a welcome push into what I felt was the real world and the real issues that were swirling about at that time.
This podcast was produced by Craig Heiss for Listen Up, with interviews recorded by StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday Americans.